to you from the work of God, your bread from heaven, Jesus Christ. Last week, we had our first dive into John chapter 6, and we heard Jesus tell the crowd and us that God the Father does the work of salvation. He says, it is the work of God that you believe in Him who He has sent. And though it can very easily make us feel uncomfortable, Jesus makes it clear that it is the work of God to give us the bread from heaven. And He does so because He loves us and wants us to spend eternity with Him. Now today we are going to address that question that we left last week with. How does God feed us the bread from heaven, Jesus? But first we need to remember the important theme running through this whole chapter, and really through most of the Bible, that Jesus is pointing over and over and over again to God and His works, turning our attention to the Father and Himself. So we actually get that quickly in this, I don't know if you heard it there, verse 44. In it, Jesus says this, once again, turning our attention in 44. He says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So once more, who does the work of getting us to God the Father and Jesus? Well, God does. He draws us in. He feeds us the bread that He sent. So how does God give us that bread? How do we receive that benefit from God? Well, I think in order to get there, we actually need to talk a bit today about the nature of what it means for us to live and be Christian. About the nature of the Christian spiritual birth. And what we see from Jesus' text today, His sayings, is that we receive all these gifts and this eternal bread passively. In fact, I think you can even say that our text reminds us that the Christian life is, at first, a passive life. Hear that again. Our text today tells us that the Christian life is, first, a passive life. And so the question of how does God give us this bread, how does He give us His work of love for us, is connected to the fact that we live a first passive life. We receive these passively, and we know this, because we've actually been so blessed here to have 5 baptisms in the last month and a half. And you know what we hear at every single one? We even heard it last week at the second service. We hear again and again Jesus in Mark 10, verse 15. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. Whoever does not receive the kingdom like a child, really a baby even. Because think of it, a baby receives everything it needs passively. Right? They can't change themselves, they can't feed themselves, and they can't even keep their floppy necks from falling apart. Which is why the most terrifying thing for a new pastor who's never had his own baby is the first baptism of a child. I have tons of friends worried about that neck, because babies receive all of this passively. Even their head structure must be maintained. And so really all of us come to the font to receive the gifts of God in baptism completely passively like babies. Because that's what we are, we're spiritual babies. So I couldn't figure out how to get it up there, and this week's been a little crazy, but maybe you've ever seen some of these memes, you've ever heard that term? I know that's a young people thing. But some of them are hilarious. You might have seen them on Facebook. Well, this reminds me of one, and it's this really determined-looking baby. He's got like this big smirk, and he's holding a fist, just leaning into the camera like he owns the world, like he just won the lottery, right? And the words over it were, I entered the church before I understood entered or church. Really just getting to that point, right, that, yeah, it's a mystery. How can a baby have faith when they can't even feed themselves? But it's because the Christian life starts as a passive life. We receive as babies. Now, that baby is hilarious and adorable, but it does get to that point, right? That we receive passively the Christian life. So you are hopefully asking a good question. Why on earth am I talking about baptism, and why did everyone have to walk around the baptismal font back there? Well, in part because it's different and it makes us notice things, but because when we talk about receiving the bread from heaven, you start with your first time eating it. That first time that God feeds you that bread, and to be honest, it's a soggy bread. Because you get to eat that bread for the first time when you were baptized. When you first passively receive Christ. Because the Christian life is, at first, a passive life. Now remember, the spiritual life, or the spiritual bread of life, is just that. It's spiritual. We eat it spiritually. And so a passive Christian life receives God's passive spiritual gifts. And so I actually want to get to our text here. Ready? So let's start seeing this example of passive receiving of God's gifts at verse 40 from our gospel reading. In verse 40, Jesus says that it is the Father's will that everyone would look on his Son and have eternal life. Now, this is another one of those pieces of scripture that people take and kind of, they just want the best for it. People want to read that and hear everyone is saved, but we know that's not true. Because yes, it is the will of God that everyone would be saved. So much so that he made Jesus Savior for the whole world. But God does not impose his will on us. We still have that active will to reject him. And that is why God does not force everyone to follow his Son. So first thing, don't realize that when it's Father's will for everyone, it doesn't mean everyone will follow that will or choose it. But most importantly for today is that phrase in there, look on the Son. Because for us, we like to think look on the Son as kind of an action that we do. But again, who does the work of salvation? God does. And actually, it's interesting that modern science has granted us an easier way to understand how even looking is a passive thing. Because up until about 150 years ago, they thought that vision worked like this. So even Martin Luther writes about this. It's pretty funny. They thought that when you looked at something, just like I'm looking at you guys, it would send out some particle. It would hit you and it'd come back, and the particle would communicate what it just touched. So they actually thought vision was much more like reaching out and touching something, just long distance. Well, that's why Luther doesn't like talking about looking upon God. He acknowledges it as biblical, but he much more likes the idea of listening to the Word rather than reading. Because they understood listening as we do to be a passive thing where the sound waves hit your ears. Now, today, with modern science, we know that when you look at something, you're not sending anything out. What's happening is that light is bouncing around, hitting you and coming to my eyes, hitting me right in the face. I see passively, just as you do. Now, you could say that people can direct their eyes, right? I have the option of looking here or over there, just as you do. But that doesn't get to the heart of what Jesus is really saying here. I want you to think more instead of trying to look at the sun. How many of you have played that dumb game like I did where you tried to see how long you could stare at the sun with your friends? Right? I say that and I know there are glasses on my face. Don't do it, right? Well, Jesus here is talking about staring at the sun, the light of Christ. It's not just a quick glance, you know, because you always get those kids that play the game and they do the smart thing where they just open their eyes and close it really quick and say, look, I looked at the sun. Well, yeah, but you're not beating the guy who did 8 seconds of that, right? Well, Jesus is talking about a life of staring at him, of trusting and following him. Well, how can we, before we are baptized, excuse me, as sinners who live in spiritual darkness, even turn to look at the Son of God? We can't. Even the act of looking at it is something we cannot do. We need Jesus' help. And it is God who directs us, but not only aims our eyes, but enables them to receive the light and not just burn to a crisp. It's a passive life we live. Then Jesus says in verse 47 that whoever believes has eternal life. And this is actually another example of God doing the work for you, of how the Christian life is a passive life. And this one is tricky because of language again. Because the word believe is a verb, right? You believe, it's a thing you do. Just like you can believe that the Lions will eventually win a Super Bowl someday, but we all know that's silly. It doesn't mean you can't believe it. Yes, that's my first pot shot at your football team. There are more coming, don't worry. So who does the verb believe? Well, we do. And yet it's still God doing it. It's still a passive thing, and it's actually clearer in the original language of the Bible, Koine Greek. It's old languages hadn't yet grown and differentiated words like English has. Sorry about that. Because in Greek, the word believe and the noun faith are pretty much the same word. They're just different forms. And so the words are pistuo and pistis, right? The first chunk is the same. It's the root. It has the same meaning. It means that thing in you that trusts in something else. And so, you know, maybe a less good, but maybe a more clear or wooden translation would be, when you read it in the Bible, you don't believe, you faith in something. You faith it. You trust it. And so think of it this way. If faith is something you have in you, then who gave it? God did. Who gave you the ability to faith in or believe and trust in Jesus? God did. Because the Christian life is a passive life with gifts from God. It is the work of God. We lived in spiritual darkness before we were brought into light. We were rebellious against God, and now we believe in Him because of His work. And it goes something like this. How many of you have ever been out camping at night, out in the middle of nowhere, and it's just beautifully dark? No full moon, just dark. And then you decide to turn on a flashlight, and maybe the batteries don't work, so you're aiming it at your face, and it hits you in the eyes, right? Oh my gosh, it feels like your eyes are just going to fall out of your head. You maybe throw the thing, you turn it off, cover your eyes, turn your head. That was our experience. But it was God who gave you faith, who gave you the ability to turn out of darkness to look at the bright light of Christ. And it was God who brought you into salvation. God does the work. And so this reminds me of a crazy story. One of those things I think I heard right as I was moving here, and maybe some of you saw this story. You know, it was one of those not big news things or, you know, no politics involved. It was just one of those things that newsreels ran so we could all have a good chuckle, I think. Well, it was about this guy. He was up with his friends in New York City, and they were partying a lot. They drank way too many adult beverages And the guy thankfully had enough foresight to get a driver, right? He knew, I'm not going anywhere. I shouldn't drive. So he called an Uber, of course, to take him home. So the Uber does that, picks him up, takes him home, and the guy wakes up the next morning in his bed. And he checks his phone on how in the world did I get home. And he sees he has a $1,500 Uber charge. Well, the inebriated fellow who called the driver asked him to take him home. He gave him his address, and the driver asked, "Are you sure you want to go home?" And he managed to mumble, "Yes." He then proceeded to basically pass out in the back seat. So the Uber driver did just that. He took him home. It just happened to be three states away. He lived in Virginia, and this dedicated Uber driver took him for a like half-day-long drive to Virginia. He was nice enough to even tuck him in and get him into his home, so maybe he earned the $1,500. I don't know. Well, that inebriated fellow was a passive recipient of that trip, if you want to put it that way, right? In fact, in interviews, the driver even says it was hard to understand the rider, that He wasn't even sure how to help the guy. The guy could barely ask for what he needed. So the driver figured he needs to go home, he needs to be safe, and he needs to sleep. So he did that for him. Now, the Christian life is a passive life, not a drunken life, but a passive life. And we see Jesus' words on how God does the work for us. God takes us, puts us in the back seat of his Uber car, and takes us home. We don't even know how to ask for what we need. We can't even turn to look at the light which we require. And so God takes us to the font. He gives us his promise, and he turns our eyes so that we can see fully the light of Christ, and he keeps our eyes right on him. That is why Jesus, every time he turns the people's heads back to God, he says one more time, again and again and again, "Look to me." And so God sent us the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And we ate him, soggy bread that we ate spiritually in the waters of baptism. So how does God give us the bread of life to eat? Well, for the first time, we eat it at the font. We receive the promise of eternal life in Christ. And I hope you caught it in today's gospel reading that Jesus mentions like some 5 or 6 times eternal life. So for you, a passive person, God sends you what you need to live forever with him. And so, as a reminder, as you leave the service today, I move the font. And if you wish, as you pass the font, you may dip your fingers in there and make the sign of the cross on yourself. It's not a rebaptism, it's not a rebirth, but it's a reminder to you what God has given you. He's turned your eyes. He's given you faith, and he's granted you the promise of eternal life with him. And you need that because the Christian life is a passive life. Next week, for the last week of this series, we will talk about how the Christian life is an active life. Yes, our lives are both passive and active. And yet, through all of it, it is still God who does the work, sustaining us spiritually and sustaining us as a people. And now I pray that the Lord would keep you in your baptismal faith, fed by his body and his blood. Amen.